and sisters, it's good to be back with you again this morning. Yeah. And we thank you for the invitation. Thank you for having us once more. Yeah. And we pray that the Lord will really meet with us and truly bless us for his dear name's sake. Yeah. You'll find our scripture reading in the Song of Solomon on chapter 1. The Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Solomon wrote 1,005 songs. But this is the only song that he wrote that is still extant. It is still with us. And the reason it is because it is part of the inspired scriptures of truth. For all scripture was given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for our learning, for our instruction, and for our teaching. And we pray that these verses from chapter 1 will be to our blessing this morning for his dear name's sake. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. And one of the secrets of reading the Song of Solomon is discover who the speaker is and who is listening. And this will help us. Now, I'm going to go down through the first 6 verses here, and I will show you whom I believe is speaking and what is being said. And we hope it will be a blessing and a help to you. And the song commences with the bride speaking. And she's speaking directly to her beloved. And she's saying, "Let him, my beloved, kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For thy love is better than wine. Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment pour forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee." And then the bride saith, "Draw me." And she's speaking directly to the one whom she loves. She says, "Draw me. Attract me. Draw me closer to thyself." Now note the change in pronoun from the singular to the plural. And this helps her to distinguish who the speaker is. "Draw me," saith the bride. And then we have the ladies of the court, the daughters of Jerusalem, and they say, "We will run after thee." And then we have the bride speaking again. "The king hath brought me into his chambers," that is, into the private place. And then we have the virgins, the daughters of Jerusalem, speaking again. "We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee." And then we have the bride speaking. Now watch this closely. She saith, "I am black." And go down to the end of the verse. "I am black as the tents of Kedar." There's the comparison. Here's the bride. Here's the Shulamite. And she's come down from the north. She has come down to be Solomon's bride. And she says, "I am black. When I compare myself with my beloved, when I think of his love, of the kisses of his mouth, when we think of his name, when I behold him," she says, "I am black." And she says, "Draw me. I am black. I'm like the tents of Kedar." And the tents of Kedar were made with the hairs of the black goats. And there was a blackness. And we want to see the comparison here between the blackness and the beauty. She says, I am black. But then we have the daughters of Jerusalem coming in and saying, but rather, you're comely. You're just like the curtains of Solomon. Oh, do you see this? Isn't this wonderful? She says, I am black. I'm like the curtains, or I'm like the tents of Kedar. But here's the daughters of Jerusalem. Ah, but you're rather lovely. You're very comely. You're like the tents, or you're like the curtains of Solomon. You see the contrasts. And I wonder, do we attract others to Christ by the way we live and by our Christian testimony for him? And then the bride speaks again and she says, look up, look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. So she had brothers, and I think they were her half-brother. They had a different father, but the same mother. And they made her the keeper of the vineyards. And then she saith this, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. And this is why she's saying, I am black. I'm like the tents of Kedar. I've been out in the vineyards, and the sun hath tanned me. It's colored me. I'm like black. Ah, but there's a beauty about her. And the beauty is the reflection of the one whom she loved. And I often wonder, does the beauty of Christ and the wonder of Christ shine through my life that others might know that I have been with Jesus, that I am like him? And so, beloved, that's my task this morning. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me, and they made me the keeper of the vineyards. But mine own vineyard have I not kept. Beloved, I wonder how you and I are. Are we keeping our own vineyard? Remember that there are the voxes. The little foxes that break in through the hedges to spoil the vines, because our vines have tender grapes. But then you see, my dear friends, there's the little sins that can come into our lives. There's the little ignorances. There's the little negligences. There's the little inconsistencies in our lives that can come in and spoil our vineyard. Mine own vineyard have I not kept. Somehow the little foxes have got in. And the vineyard can become overgrown. She says, they made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. Look at Proverbs, just for a moment, please. Chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. On verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all overgrown with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. There's the parable of the sluggard's vineyard. The little foxes had come in. He had grown lazy. He hadn't kept his own vineyard. So the spiritual teaching here is this. Keep the vineyard that we might bear fruit. Keep out the little foxes. Make sure the wall, make sure the head is steadfast, unmovable. And we are always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, are we as believers, are we opposed to this present evil age? Well, we should be. We should be taking our stand for Christ. Are we as believers obligated to this present evil age? No, we're not. Or have we as believers overlooked our own spiritual welfare in this present evil age? Yes, it's entirely possible. My own vineyard have I not kept because the foxes have come in. The wall and the hedge of separation has been broken down. And we've lost our testimony. And yes, in the business and the busyness of life, believers can neglect their spiritual growth. And as somebody has said, beware of the barrenness of a busy life. We can be busy doing other things, but no time for Christ. You see, we're not of this world. And our homes are not in this world. You remember what the hymn says? This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasure's all laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And the angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You see, believers are not of this world. We're only ambassadors in this world as long as God permits it. You see, our life as believers doesn't belong to it. Our blessings do not belong to this world. For we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And our joys do not depend upon it. Oh, my dear friends, if the worldling doesn't have his days of partying, his days when he can go out and enjoy himself and the things of the world, somehow the next day, after the parties, after the drink, after this so-called worldly enjoyment, what have they left? They're back where they started. In depression, downcast, defeated, waiting for the next time, waiting for the next hopeful moment in their lives that will bring some sort of relief. Well, our joys don't depend upon this world. For thank God, our enjoyment is in Christ, and our treasures are not in this world. Our home and our treasures are not here. They're laid so up somewhere beyond the blue. Our treasures are laid up in the glory land. Now, there are just three things that I want to draw to your attention here from these six verses, and especially from verse number 6. The privilege that we as believers should appreciate. And what is the privilege that we as believers should appreciate? It is this, that as believers as the servants of the Lord, as laborers together in the Lord's vineyard. We should be living and working for him. Why? Because we love him who first loved us. Note the words, they made me the keeper of the vineyards. But as believers, we did not choose the Lord. He chose us and called us to serve him. He has sent us into his vineyard. For he has said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. You see that? We obeyed his call. And his love constrains us to serve him. To go out into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. You see, the love of Christ constrains us because we judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And we have a message of life. And it's a message that for those that are dead in trespasses and sins need to hear. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our great example. He said, I have manifested thy name unto men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word, and I have sent them in thy name. But in what way? And in what vineyard are we serving the Lord? You know, it is highly possible to neglect the keeping of your own vineyard. Just like the bride saith, mine own vineyard have I not kept. And we're so busy trying to keep the vineyards of others. And we're at the beck and call all the time of others. And what happens is this, that we neglect our own vineyard and our own spiritual welfare. Beloved, take time to be holy. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. And that's the privilege that you and I should appreciate. Secondly, the peril we must avert. How easy it is to serve the Lord earnestly, enthusiastically, to be on the job all of the time, and yet neglect our own spiritual welfare, our personal communion with the Lord, our study of the Word, and our fellowship in the secret place. It's great to be saved, isn't it? It's great to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know the blessedness of sins forgiven, and you can read your title clear to a mansion in the sky. That's wonderful. Is there anything better than that? Yes, there is. Let me illustrate. Many years ago, in our land, there were men known as paddlers. And I can go back far enough to remember them coming round the streets in Banbridge, where I was brought up. And some of them came round with their stone to hone and to sharpen knives. Others came round with other things. And I can remember our bread man. His name was Sammy Cruikshanks. And he had a horse-drawn bread van. And you could have bought a porous bun for a penny. Some of you don't know. I see Jory nodding his head. He remembers these days. Yes. And you know, dear friends, It is highly possible, you know. Highly possible to be thankful that you're on your way to heaven and glory. But you see, there was one of these Irish peddlers, and he knocked on this door, and he asked the lady to buy some of his wares. Could he sharpen some of her knives for her? And the first thing she says, "Isn't it great to be saved?" The peddler says, "Yes, it is." But he says, "I know something better than that." "What?" she says. "You know something better than being saved." "Yes, I know what I know something better, and it's the day-by-day, daily companionship of the risen Christ." Not lovely? Oh, now we're getting there. And that's how you develop your fellowship with Christ. You know, it is possible for preachers to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ and yet not adorn the doctrines of the Word in their own personal and private life. Highly possible. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Isn't that what we need to do? If we're going to keep our vineyards, we need to keep out the little foxes. "But in a great house," verse 20, "there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also wood and earth, and some to honour and some to dishonour. If a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Purged, prepared, purified. Keep the vineyard. Keep your own vineyard. Keep it purged. Keep it purified. Keep it prepared for the master's use. Preachers, Christians, beware. "Mine own vineyard have I not kept." And here I'm getting a little bit close. Is our own vineyard overgrown? Because we've become idle. We haven't taken time to study the old book, and we haven't taken time to get alone with the Lord. This is the only way to keep the vineyard, to keep it fruitful, to keep it useful for the Lord of glory. And finally, the panacea we must apply. The privilege we should appreciate. The peril we must avert. Don't let your vineyard become run down, fruitless and barren and useless. But if the little foxes have come in and they've spoiled the vine because we have been lax, then here's the panacea we must apply. How must we keep our own vineyards? Well, there must come the pruning, of course. Look at John's Gospel, chapter 15. John's Gospel and chapter 15, please. And the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and he says, "I am the true vine, And he says, my father is the husbandman. Every branch that is in me that beareth not fruit, he, my father, the husbandman, takes it away. You see, a branch can become useless and fruitless. And the only thing you can do is discard it. And every branch that is in me, he, the Father, the husbandman, purgeth it, that it may bear forth more fruit. And so there must come this pruning. Go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. And verse 29. But if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Beloved, cut off. Keep yourself separate from all those things that'll spoil the vine. But not only is there pruning here, but there's purifying. We're back in John's Gospel, chapter 2. And every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. There's a purging. There's a purifying. First Corinthians, chapter 6. First Corinthians, chapter 6. And verse number 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath raised both up, and God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise us up by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he that is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What know ye not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What teaching? Beloved, do you see the pruning and the purifying? If we're going to be vessels for the Master's use, vessels of honor, then we'll need this pruning and we'll need this purifying. But there's another step. There's the providing. You see, this is not of ourselves. Look at Matthew's Gospel. You see, our strength is from the Lord. Matthew, and it's chapter 6. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. and verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now I want you to notice what Christ is saying. His Father is the husbandman. And he take away the dead branches. And it's his Father that does the purifying and makes the branch fruitful. And how is it done? When we get into the secret place alone with God and pray to our Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret will reward thee openly. He make you fruitful to the glory of God the Father and to the name of his dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's the providing. There's the pruning. There's the purifying. There's the providing, and God hath provided the means where we can maintain the vineyard. And it's found in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then comes the protecting. Look at the Song of Solomon. We're back in the Song of Solomon. On chapter 2, please. The Song of Solomon. Chapter 2. On verse number 15. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2, please. And verse number 15. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. You know, he draws attention who needed repairs to the wall. And we need to repair the wall or the hedge of our own lives personally. We need to repair them again and again and again. And when we do that, we can depend on him to provide for our every need, and to protect us from the onslaughts of the evil one. And in Psalm number 139, we have these words, and I'm almost finished, beloved. Psalm 139. Keep these words in mind. And there will be a blessing to you in helping you to keep the vineyard fruitful and to keep out the little foxes that spoil the vines. Here it is. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, that's personal. Know my heart. God knows us through and through. And he says, try me and know my thoughts. What about our thoughts? Are they righteous? Are they honourable? Are they loving? Are they Christ-like? Or are they sinful and wicked at times? Beloved, Take the story of Demas. And in Philemon we read that Demas was a fellow laborer of Paul. In Colossians chapter 4, writing to the saints at Colossae, he said, Demas greets you. But when he wrote his final epistle to Timothy, he said, Demas hath forsaken me. Demas was pulled towards the world, towards the wrong vineyard. And sadly, he yielded to it. As someone has said, Paul was a man who was right and kept right. Young Mark was a man who went wrong but came right. But Demas was a man who was right but went wrong. He neglected his own vineyard. How? By letting in the world. By letting in the little foxes. As we seek to serve God, let us neglect our own spiritual needs. The necessity of living holy lives, walking humbly with our God and in sweet fellowship and communion with Him day by day. And thus we will become fruitful in His service. And this is how we can avert our own vineyard becoming all grown over with thorns and nettles. Brother and sisters, the Lord bless you. And bless you richly for His dear name's sake. A moment's prayer. Our God and our Father, in our Saviour's name and in the Holy Spirit, we draw nigh to the throne of grace. And we pray that by thy power and with the strength of Christ sustaining us and helping us, we will keep our vineyard and we will bear fruit for the glory of your name. Now, Lord, take our thanks for being here. And as we leave the building this morning, take us to our homes in safety with the blessing of God that maketh rich and which no sorrow is added to. For Christ our Saviour's sake we ask. Amen. And amen.